Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast. I feel like I haven't done that in a while. It's a Wednesday. We're going to talk some USC Trojan football. My favorite person to have on. Keely, your follower on Twitter, at Keely is my name. Does a great job covering the Trojans for us at USCFootball.com. And got some news to talk about, mostly about the support staff. There's definitely been some shakeup going on the support staff roster for USC. It's definitely a deep roster. You're seeing some of the players from there leave, some of the new additions, and we're going to talk all about that with Keely Yor. We got a bunch of questions to get to as well. And if you have any questions for the show, feel free to email us podcast@uscfootball.com, or you can call or text us at 424-254-9141. Leave us a voicemail. You can send us a text. We love to get all of those. And if you have the Apple podcasting app on any of your devices, please subscribe, first of all. That's great. But also leave us a five-star rating, any kind of positive review with comments, feedback, suggestions you have does help us grow the show. We really appreciate that. And thanks to everyone that's been doing that. I don't think we have any new ones this week, so get out there and leave us a five-star rating if you can. And she always gets five stars. She's the five-star signee I got from several years back. Keely Yor, how are you doing, Keely?
Hello, Ryan. Doing well. I love the lot of hype leading up to my intro, Ryan. So thank you. Five star, your favorite person to podcast with. You're just buttering me up for this podcast.
I'm going to tear you down later.
I know.
I like buttering you up. I do. It's funny. I do have people tell me, like, they're just talking to me like, yeah, what are you going to do when Keely gets poached by somebody better? I'm like, I don't know. Like, you know, whatever.
Well, yeah, who knows? But yeah. I'm expecting a full trolling to happen from you, Ryan, for the next like 30 minutes in this podcast, because that's usually what follows. So I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
No, I always try. I like to pick on you because it's fun, but I do, you know, I try to be nice. And she's done a great job. The only intern we've ever hired full time, and she's still, you know, she's been around. It's funny too. Like, so say like ESPN calls and Keely's like, hey, I'm going to go take a job with ESPN. I'm like, oh, that sucked to lose you. We used to have a pretty good stable of interns because we had a lot of practice credentials. We had more game credentials. That's kind of dried up. So it's a lot harder now, to do stuff like that because you can't, we used to be able to bring a whole bunch more people to practice. They limited it quite a bit. Now the pandemic, you can't go at all. But yeah, it would be hard to replace you in, you know, normally, Keely, but even harder now with like really don't have the same opportunities. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, we have interns that are asking me like, hey, when can I get a practice credential? And I'm like, I don't have a practice credential right now. Yeah. So it's slow times right now, but I will say we did find out USC's pro day, is on March 24th, I believe. I don't know if we can go to it, but we at least have a date now, which is good.
Yeah, I saw like our former, intern, Brian Fisher.
Oh, look at that.
Where did it come from? Like, is he, well, the one that tweeted it, or did USC announce? I didn't see that. That was earlier today.
Yeah, I saw that tweet too. I do know that it's going to happen in March. I asked a source about that. So I do know that they are having pro day. It's happening in March, and I saw that March 24th date. So I put two and two together, but I'll make sure to get confirmation on that. But, yeah, we're moving ahead.
Yeah, maybe it's Brian just got that, but like, yeah, I didn't see it. He tweeted out, so I think the only Pac-12 ones, he had Washington at March 30th and USC at March 24th. Alabama apparently has two when you have that many guys, I guess so. March 23rd and the 30th. But if my understanding is correct, the combine's not, they're not going to have like an in-person kind of combine thing. So really they're going to rely on the pro days. So I think they had to have pro days, but it's better anyway if you're not Amon Ross St. Brown or, you know, yeah, Elijah Vera Tucker, you might not be going to the combine. So now it's just a situation where probably get more eyes on, the guys that maybe wouldn't have been invited to the combine because, you know, they'll already be at the pro day.
Yeah. No, it definitely helps those guys who aren't getting an invite because you're going to have a lot of eyes. Usually you do at the USC pro day, but now you're going to have a lot of eyes on you. So kudos to those guys who will get a better shot this time around.
Yeah, because you got six guys that have left. Obviously, everyone was eligible to return because of the pandemic. And, you know, six guys go. If you've ever been to a pro day, they were open to the public at one point, and then that stopped. And that's probably like 15 years ago or more.
Oh, wow.
But then it were, they kind of got strict with the credentials, and there was a lot, you know, but we would be able to go, but it was definitely crowded. You would like kind of move around the field, like the different drills, and people are sort of packed in shoulder to shoulder. Like when you're seeing the people cover the 40 yard dashes, like everyone's kind of like grouped together.
It's a clump. Yeah. Definitely a clump of people.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what that's going to be like. If there's going to be any media coverage at all, they might just have, you know, we have our own photographer, we have our own videographer, and we'll release numbers and, yeah, you know, do a Zoom workout, a Zoom interviews with some of the players. That would be my guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Who knows? We'll see. That's sort of what we've been getting. But yeah, Pro Day is not the most important thing in the world, but it's something that we would cover for sure. It's just, you know, like the, like most everything else in the pandemic, you kind of have to move on as far as, you know, the way you're doing things. You're going to do it a little differently, at least for this year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like there's a way you could do it where you like spread out media outlets per, like in the stadium, in the seats maybe, so that you can watch and then have a couple scouts on the field. I don't know, but I'm sure the Zoom way is probably what's going to happen. You're probably right there, Ryan.
And you get some cool stuff that's happening. Like, do you remember, what was it? When Sam Darnold's year.
Yeah.
Who was the, there was like the owner for the, was it?
There wasn't the Browns, I believe.
Yeah. What's those guys? I forget their names.
Yeah, I am too.
But some billionaire owner. The guy, like, they're tied to the University of Tennessee. And, I'm blanking on their names, but whatever. Yeah, they were there, and there was like, I think a grad student that was like, follow me on Twitter. Like I took a picture or something in the crowd, and she was talking to the Haslams, right? Talking to him. And then people were asking like, who's that? And it was funny. Like this whole thing came from it because you're like, oh, he's definitely going to the Browns. Which obviously didn't happen. So
they were sitting with his family too, his parents, Darnold's parents.
They were chatting with that. So there's stuff like that you can kind of get from there that's neat, you know?
Yeah.
But that's when you have like a high profile quarterback that's going to be a top, you know, top pick that a lot of people thought would be number one.
Yeah.
All right, before we jump into anything else, I just want to thank our sponsor, Trader Joe's. Keely and I didn't do a show last week, so thanks for talking about it. Okay. Trader Joe's on the Family Feud podcast. I'm going there a little more often now. It's definitely, it's talk about pandemic experiences. It's been my favorite shopping experience I've had. They're always super friendly. You can bring your Trader Joe's bags again. So if you have those USC bags that we've had before, you know, bring them in. They'll fill them up for you. Been maybe drink a little more wine, Keely, during the pandemic, but got a good selection of Pinot Noirs, you know, picking up some different frozen dinners I've liked to make. And, but the gnocchi gorgonzola is really good. That's a good one to try out. I've been doing some of the kind of frozen rice and, you know, making some dishes with that just to go along with like some meats or fish that you can grill. So there's a lot of different, you know, stuff you can get there, but try the gnocchi gorgonzola.
Nice.
So,
I actually went yesterday, Ryan, and I was in line going, oh, I can mention this tomorrow on the podcast. Yeah, so there you go.
what'd you pick up?
It was a quick run. I got like apples, and the thing I like is that they have chicken breast in like little individual wrap packets because I'm cooking for one, so I'm not going to like cook all four at once, so then I can just do one at a time. It's very easy and simple. I love it.
Yeah, but yeah, definitely check them out, and we would love to, you know, we're in contact with Trader Joe's, and when we're able to do some sort of gathering again, they'll definitely provide more of those awesome USC Trader Joe's bags. There's it looks like I don't know who's on the football player that's on the bag. It might be like Ray Malaluga or something, but they can't sell the bags. So people go in there, you're not allowed to sell them because they have all these you know, images and stuff, but they can be used as giveaways. So we've had several events where we gave a whole bunch. I mean, those bags go like wildfire. So hopefully we can have an event sometime soon, and Trader Joe's will provide more of those bags, so that would be great.
Well, speaking of which, Ryan, I cleaned out my trunk this week and I found, I think, like 8 Trader Joe's USB bags.
Do not say that. People are going to hit you up.
I know. I'm going to be targeted. But I know. I was like, I felt like I hit the jackpot. So if I ever need a trade, I have some good bartering materials.
There you go. So if you don't have your bag yet, tweet at Keely is my name and she will put one in the mail. I mean, I remember sending some of those out. Cause I had a bunch of extra ones and then some people wanted them and, you know, people that couldn't come to events and I sent a bunch of them out. It's a real pain in the butt, like to like pack up a whole bunch of things. I bought a bunch of people with, I forget what those Fight On as One t-shirts or something. Like,
oh, yeah.
I told people like, hey, you know what? If you're having a bad day, it was like early pandemic, tell me and I'll send you these t-shirts. And it was cool, but it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time to like pack a bunch of individual 2 or 3 shirts and like send them out and stuff.
Are you supposed to complain about your good deed, Ryan? I feel like that's not how it works.
That's true. I shouldn't complain about that. But
I'm
just saying, like, if you had a whole bunch of Trader Joe's bags, like, it'd be nice to send them out, but it's not, like, super easy. It takes up a lot of time. But that's why we have the events, and then we can kind of give them away.
Exactly. There you go.
And I want to let people know beforehand. So, and, you know, as you're listening to this, we still got more than a week of this promotion going on, but don't wait. Don't dilly-dally. So the best promotion 24/7 Sports will do every year. We're the Peristyle Podcast here. Some people don't know, we actually run a website, uscfootball.com. That's the main thing. We cover the team on the site. People are on it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, 24/7, you know, notwithstanding. But yes, the Peristyle, the busiest USC message board in the world. I started that in 1996 and it's still going around today. It's for premium subscribers now. So if you're a VIP member, awesome. If you're not, you can sign up right now for 50% off an annual membership, which is amazing. But all your members, if you're a current member or if you're going to become a new member, the cool thing right now is you can get CBS All Access. So that's about $120 a year. One of the premium services, if you saw the Super Bowl commercial for Paramount Plus, CBS All Access will become Paramount Plus on March 4th. So right, you know, after this promotion ends, that's why it's going until March 3rd. But awesome stuff. So they're going to have live sports on there. So like CBS Sports kind of stuff. You want to watch those things, you can watch on this app, but also, you know, original programming, anything CBS. If you want to watch Survivor, one of my favorite shows and I'm blanking on it now. Big Bang Theory, like all those kind of shows, like all that stuff is all on the app and you get access to it for free just for being a member. So you get the membership at half off plus you get this $120 value. And you know, people are looking to cut the cord and get access to content. This is free content. You know, like say you're like an Amazon Plus member because you get a lot of packages. You get the, you know, Amazon Prime. Just because you like uscfootball.com, you're going to get this huge library of content for your television. So hopefully you guys can check it out. You know, go sign up on the site. You can see on the front page and become a CBS All Access subscriber, which will be Paramount Plus soon. So. I know they're going to have like a new Star Trek, show.
Oh.
So if you like that kind of stuff, it's on the CBS All Access platform and a bunch, I think a Saved by the Bell one, but yeah, check out the Super Bowl commercial. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I saw a tweet of someone who picked up the deal and he said it's a twofer. He gets the Paramount Plus for his wife and he gets uscfootball.com for himself. So there you go.
And half off. So it's pretty good.
True.
So we,
there you know, go.
Sorry for the promo there, but we really don't promo the show a lot. I mean, the website a lot on the podcast because some people are just like, hey, I listen to the podcast. I don't read what you guys write and stuff like that. This is an opportunity to. So if you were thinking about it, this would be the time to do it. All right. Well, the main theme of the show is we want to update you guys on what's going on the support staff and certainly changed. And I think we've seen changes for the better, Keely, from the last couple of years. To me, USC is taking this more seriously. There's been an arms race going on for many years, and I think USC sort of felt like they were above the fray, didn't need to take part, and they weren't making the kind of hires that other blue blood programs were making. I think they had some good people in place. You had guys like Eric Ziskin and Gavin Morris and guys that were like doing a lot of work. They were doing the, you know, jobs of 2 and 3 people just on their own. Now you're seeing this expand and USC hiring more and more people and not just bringing in the intern that's never done it before. there's opportunities to do that. You can hire guys like, you know, Chris Claiborne, who's was a high school coach, maybe not coached in college. You can hire guys like Chris Hawkins, you know, as a GA and kind of move them through the rankings. And you can hire young people to be these analysts, but you could also hire people that have been in these analyst positions for a while and have proven track records. And USC is doing that too. So I think we got to go through all these names, but just before we do that, Keely, just in general, I've been impressed with the hiring practices, how they've gone about this. It feels like they're acting like a blue blood program. What are your thoughts on what they've been doing?
Yeah, I mean, they've definitely seen the openings that USC had, not only because they replaced Trey Johnson, who left for Tennessee, but also just on the quality control side of things. They have seen that as an opportunity to really beef up their support staff in multiple ways, not only in the coaching aspect, but also in recruiting and whatnot. So I just think it shows that they're trying to be with the big boys and trying to make blue blood decisions. And it seems like they are. And I put this on the P last week, but our Steve Wiltfong wrote an article in January about off-field recruiting positions, basically talking about how they're emerging in college football. They're really important for college football. And he wrote about three main people. And at the time, it was Brian Carrington, Gavin Morris, who USC fans know, and Jeff Martin.
Yeah.
And all three are now on USC staff right now. And that was an article that was written just a month ago. And so it shows just how much that USC is paying attention to who's important in the recruiting landscape. And these are guys who have taken top prospects away from USC, and now you're getting those guys on your staff. So I think it's been a really good boost for USC, making sure that their recruiting staff, their support staff, is not a one-man job where you're putting so much weight on one person's shoulders. You're spreading the load around, and you're getting more people who know what they're doing and have experience. So I think they've been making great moves as far as building up that side of the staff.
Yeah, I agree. There's a way you can go about things. And if you're going to have a list of like, hey, these are great. Here's a few great support people that do an amazing job recruiting. Like, you know, you mentioned Brian Carrington, like he was at, you know, worked his way up when he was at the University of Houston with Tom Herman. They get a guy like Ed Oliver, who's a 5-star defensive lineman.
Yeah.
That goes to Houston. And like the first guy we wanted to see on campus was Brian Carrington. You know, when he got there, that shows the kind of relationship he built. That's a difference maker from a non, you know, a coach that you wouldn't even have heard about, you know, not a coach, but like someone that's on the staff that you wouldn't have heard about. It's not, you know, Graham Harrell or it's not Clay Helton. It's someone on the support staff that's actually making a major difference. And I feel like that's the way college football's, you know, evolved is you need these people behind the scenes. Yeah. Do you need like 50 video people cranking out social media stuff? I mean, that's cool, but it's like, I don't know if that's you get Ed Oliver to come to your school and this supports that person is a big reason for it. Like, that's a huge difference. I think you need the other stuff. Do you need 50 video guys? Well, 10 work? Probably. But if you have quality analysts and assistants that are helping with the actual recruiting process, making your roster better, keeping those guys when they get on campus, making them want to stay because they like you. I think that's a big deal. And the fact that if you have this list from a, you know, recruiting analyst that lives in the Midwest, I believe, or is he in Atlanta? I forget where Steve is.
I don't know where he is actually.
He might be in Atlanta. I forget. I'm sorry, Steve. But wherever you live, he's not in the West, and he's mentioning these three guys and they're all happen to be at USC. That's a big deal. And I feel like USC's been behind it for a lot of the times, and they're trying to make things better. Now, people are going to say, oh, it doesn't matter. Clay Hill's, you know, you're making a better foundation for the football program as a whole. And so I applaud the efforts there.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, and for the record, Steve is from Indianapolis, I believe. I looked it up on Twitter. So there
I thought
you
it was Midwest. Yeah, I was looking for him.
Yeah, but these are guys who, when you add them to the staff, recruits take notice. And I forgot what he said exactly, but even Corey Foreman posted on his Insta story when Brian Carrington was added, like, this is the guy. Like, this is great that he's added. And so when you get guys who've been so key in other programs, you kind of create momentum a little bit. Like, oh, this is the place you want to be. And so I think that's great for USC because I think they've lost that, you know, especially with just the 5-7 season, all the Clay Helton slander, if you will. I think they lost the, hey, this is a cool place to be and they are building something. And I feel like when you add a guy like Jeff Martin, when you add a guy like Brian Carrington, then you start to have this momentum of like, oh, they're up to something over there. That might be cool. And like the thing that stood out to me, cause LSU's Jeff Martin put out he kind of made it official. It came out last week, but he made it official today saying his goodbyes to LSU. He said that he ended up crying telling Coach O that he was leaving and like had a hard time saying goodbye to people. And when I interviewed Brian Carrington, he said like, it's a whirlwind because he was sad to leave people at Texas, the recruits he recruited at Texas. And so it just shows how much these are people, if you will. You know, they really established good connections with not only who they're working with, but the recruits they're trying to sign. And I think those are people you want to add on your staff. I mean, you talk about how Ed Oliver wanted to meet Brian Carrington. Jeff Martin, Joe Burrow was the first person he met when he got on campus. You know, those are guys who are, you want them on your staff. And so, like I said, I think it's a big deal at USC is getting these people. And the funny thing, Jeff Martin came together pretty quickly, I believe, from what I was told. And it was something that after USC's basketball game on Wednesday night, it was pretty much like half of the athletic department, or at least the decision makers at half court kind of walking around. And I talked to some other reporters who saw them like kind of having a little bit of a commotion. And they didn't know what was happening. And then I followed up with the source and they were saying that, they actually closed the deal with Jeff Martin right after the basketball game. So it was very public excitement from USC's athletic department staff when they actually signed him. So they're very excited to have Jeff Martin on the staff, and I think you can understand why.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know if you want an analogy where, like, we just talked about getting an intern. You know, we have our staff. You know, there's, you know, Gerard and, you know, Keely and Shotgun and Chris and myself. And say we had, like, an intern want to come in and you're recruiting them, and maybe they're, like, a stud at Annenberg and we're trying to get them to come on board. You know, if I make the hire, is probably going to be me. You could say I would be like the Clay Helton of it, but maybe he or she is working with, you know, Keely a lot or so, and relates to Keely and like, oh, you know, you were just in school like a few years ago and you did some of the same things I did. Like I might be the head guy, but Keely could be the person that, you know, intern or whatever would want to talk to the most and come in and be like, yeah, Ryan hired me, but it's really Keely is why I'm here. You know, maybe something like that. I don't know. Is that a good analogy? It's something similar.
As far as, are you relating this to like the whole Ed Oliver stuff?
Yeah. Like when you're like a recruit coming to the program and when they say like, thanks to Coach Helton and Coach Harrell and Coach Morris, like, well, Gavin Morris isn't a coach, you know, but,
yeah,
but they become part of it. And like, that's someone that really got them to come to campus, you know?
Well, the reason, they're kind of like the behind the scenes glue guys, you know, because the coach and the position coaches are going to have their hands in so many different areas that you have a guy like a Gavin who's very personable and will be able to relate to you. That is really what puts you over the edge in the recruiting process that sometimes doesn't feel very personable. So I think like you said, Ryan, your analogy makes sense. It's those guys who are the glue guys who really hold together the person-to-person aspect and make a place attractive to come to as a recruit.
Yeah. Did we go over the
didn't really go over it.
Like who
we
left.
Went so around it.
Maybe yeah. We could start with the people that leave. And I know we've got some, you know, in general, people are like, why didn't USC keep, you know, Chris Claiborne? Or what about, why did you keep Hayes Pollard? I would look at this as when you bring in, as far as college experience goes, like inexperienced guys that might be former players, you know, former USC players, you bring them on. The point, they want to grow and they want to like become a coach. USC doesn't have to promote all of those guys. You can't just promote every player that comes through. Yeah. But if someone else does, if Arizona State comes and poaches one of your, you know, quality control analysts and makes them a full-time position coach, that's good for USC. I mean, that shows like the next quality control analyst you want to get, you're like, oh, our last guy after a year, he got a full-time job, you know? Mm-hmm. And if that person does a great job at Arizona State in 3 years, you might want to hire him as your position coach there. And it's an upgrade for him again. I don't look at this as a bad thing. You want to have this pipeline of, wow, if I, you know, that's where you want to go. I mean, another intern thing, we've had a really good run of the interns we've had come in going on to do, you know, work in TV, whatever. We've had a, like, there's a track record there. So someone like Keeley sees that and like, oh, I want to intern with Ryan because the people that have gone before, you know, that has interned before him, they came from USC, they've got good jobs afterwards. So I think it's a better. So the people that are being critical that USC didn't retain some of these guys, that's not the name of this game. Like, these are low level positions. If you bring them in and give them their start, they go somewhere else, you're going to get better quality candidates, I think, going forward.
Exactly. We've talked about this on the Family Feud podcast, but it's a good sign if your quality control analysts are leaving, because that means that other people want them. You don't want quality control analysts that people don't want, because then it's a low level position and why are you having them there, you know? So, it's a good thing that they left, but also it was an opportunity for USC to really boost their staff in certain ways. I mean, that's how they were able to add Brian Carrington to the position. And to further your point, Ryan, if you look at the release that USC sent out when I believe it was the tight ends coach, JDB, John David Baker, when he left for Ole Miss, in the release that USC put out, they said another quality control analyst who has grown at his time at USC and is now moving on. That whole release was written just so that they could also show Brian Carrington, look, hey, this is a guy who became a quality control analyst and became a position coach. And that's ultimately what a guy like Brian Carrington wants to do. So, I mean, it's a good thing. You want this to happen. And people kind of described it as like a mass exodus, and it's not like that. So, it's okay. This is the life cycle of football positions or staff positions.
Yeah. It's just, that's the way. You know, that's the way it goes. And the good thing is USC is just not hiring schmucks to do these jobs because they are moving on. And I think USC fans could get like shell shocked a little bit. They just haven't made good hires most of the time. They weren't hiring people other people wanted. They were hiring people that, you know, they knew and blah. Now you're going out and hiring people that other people would actually covet. And then you get this track record going. So even if you hire someone that's sort of mediocre, they're still, you know, they're still going to get a bump. Like, if you're assistant coach for Nick Saban and you're like, you just kind of snuck through somehow and you're not really that good, you're still Nick Saban's assistant coach. You're Bill Belichick's assistant and you're like the lowest level assistant or like the worst assistant on his staff. You're still Bill Belichick's assistant and you're going to get bumped up because of that. So it's a good thing. USC's in a much better place because of it. And if they lose Brian Carrington after a year and someone hires him as a position coach, you know, if Arizona State goes out and hires him again as a position coach, you can't get mad. You had the best, like one of the best people at his position. You hired him when he was the best of what he did. Now he's moving up and going to, you're taking a risk by, you know, increasing his responsibilities, making him an on-field coach, all that stuff. He might be the best, but you just don't know. USC could go out and get someone that's been a proven assistant coach, but if they put, you know, their analysts, you know, as a high level analyst into assistant coaches, like you said, that's just going to be something that you can sell going forward.
Yeah. If that scenario with Brian Carrington happens, then you have a really attractive position. You make that QC role way more attractive than other places because you have a track record of pushing them into real position coaching opportunities. So then if it's attractive, you get better candidates. And so it's a win-win, people. It's a win-win.
Yeah. Don't turn this into, there's a lot of negatives. Don't turn this one into one.
Yeah. No, but I think we should go through because Sean Howe was the defensive quality control assistant and he left for Montana, I believe, Montana State. He became their next defensive line coach and he's been everywhere. He was a defensive line coach for Coastal Carolina, who, by the way, Ryan, finished their spring camp last week. So they're going through everything.
They did it again.
They couldn't do their spring game, but they did finish their spring practice already. So I know you were big on that. So I thought I should update you while I was mentioning Coastal Carolina. Yeah. So he left. That was an opening. And then obviously we talked about Chris Claiborne and Hayes Pollard. And then you had JDB leave for Ole Miss, which then they elevated Seth Dagey. He became Titans coach, so now you have an opening. They did announce last week, we put it in the war room 2 weeks ago, that Toe Lomadon is now an offensive quality control assistant. So he's back on the Trojan side of things. And then USC just announced today that they hired John Bonnie, I believe, Ryan. And he was a Texas safety. So this seems like a Craig Nivar connection there.
Yeah.
He actually played USC in the overtime game. So he has played at the Coliseum, so he knows that. But yeah, so this is a new guy to add to the staff. So still some moves happening over there, Ryan.
And I would say, you look at Seth Dagey, there was an opportunity there because USC lost somebody. They promoted. And now, if you have a good group of quality, you know, analysts, you know, quality control assistants, things like that, that's an internal pool of candidates if you do have an opening. Now, could you have argued, well, you want Chris Claiborne, he should have been promoted? They didn't really have a spot, right? I mean,
yeah.
So something opens up. If they lost their linebacker coach, yeah, move him up, you know. But you don't need to, like, if, you know, force feed a spot for him, his very first position coach, you know, coaching job in college. If there's an opportunity and something opens up, yeah, you can promote someone because you have good people in the pipeline. But ideally, those good people in the pipeline, they're at a high-level analyst role for you, and then they become assistant coaches somewhere else. And then maybe 3 years down the road, you hire them away after they're more of a proven assistant. Like Vic Soto, you see, like, you got to see him for 3 years, right, as a, you know, at Virginia defensive line coach. You're like, man, that dude can coach, and USC can hire that guy. I like that better than hiring, if they hired Vic Soto right, you know, from his whatever GA role or whatever it was. Like you can kind of project that they're going to be a good assistant, but at your place like USC, I would prefer hiring more proven guys. So if you see like this up and coming coach, like a Vic Soto after 3 years, yeah, okay, take a shot on him as opposed to right when they're coming out of, you know, being a GA or something.
Yeah. And to be fair to USC, they did try to get Prentice Gill out of ASU, to fill that open tight end role, but it turns out that it was close. And from what I heard, Gill just wanted to have his own wide receivers room and didn't really want to have a tight ends role, coaching role. So they didn't go to the first USC thing that we've seen where it's like, oh, opening, promote from within. They actually tried to go and get their top guy and missed on that. So they at least attempted that.
Yeah. And if you have to promote from within, you have a good group to, you know, choose from at least, which that wasn't the case in the past all the time.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I've heard good things about Seth Dagey and how much he had not only assisted the offense, but also in recruiting. He was a big guy for both Miller Moss and Jackson Dart. So to promote him to coaching, I believe that will help with recruiting as well on that offensive side.
Yeah. So if you're not going to follow every name that comes through as part of the support staff, just know it got better. They had some guys get poached away and get, you know, high, you know, better jobs, but they went out and got people that were the best at what they do, in the country. So that's good stuff.
Yep.
All right. Well, why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back and answer some questions. So back in a minute.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, we're back here on the Peristyle Podcast. We have one voicemail. You want me to start with this one, Keely?
Sure, go for it.
All right, let's play this.
Hey, Ryan, Curtis from Moreno Valley. Great interview with Dante Williams, associate head coach, who is now going to be part of recruiting offensive players. They better never let him go. Never. I could eventually see him in an even higher position than he's in, because you know how important talent is. Curtis from Moreno Valley.
Curtis, thanks. So, yeah, I did a one-on-one with Dante Williams. I think he said this in last week, but Keely and I didn't do a show, so my apologies. It was a week later, but thanks, Curtis. Yeah, it was fun interview. The second time I interviewed him back in May, I believe, and then he came on again. It was great. You know, he's now the associate head coach. I would say never say never. I mean, don't let him go. But you know, if someone's going to hire him to be a head coach somewhere, like, okay, then you know that's he's probably going to go. I would assume he's going to go take that head coaching opportunity. But there was, you know, it was nice to give him promotion. You know, recognize the kind of contributions he's made, you know, on the field and certainly with recruiting, having a, you know, a top 10 class after the number 64 class or whatever it was the previous year. There was a big part of that was Dante Williams.
Yeah, huge part of it. He's the type of guy, and I've heard this from multiple people, where you want to elevate your game just because he's around. And that's definitely a guy you want on your staff. So it makes sense, because I'm sure a lot of programs want Dante. And so to give him that promotion is good for him and good for the program and good for USC to bring in Dante.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for that one, Curtis.
We have an email from Don. It's a little snarky. He says, do you think the Pac-12's reputation will hurt Keaton Swope's chances as a Heisman candidate? Or do you think that Clay Helton, with all his influence, can sway some voters? Don.
I don't think it matters what Clay Helton does as far as, like, swaying voters. Like, that's not – I mean, if it was, like, some close race or something, we haven't seen – I mean, it's going to be about wins. So – if Keaton Slovis throws for a zillion yards and a lot of touchdowns and not a lot of interceptions, he's going to get noticed. Now it's going to be different than like if you were at Texas Tech where you throw for 5,000 yards and you're like, yeah, you're at Texas Tech. So you're at USC, they're running like this type of an air raid thing. He gets explosive numbers. He's going to get attention because he's at USC, but he's not going to have a chance to win unless USC is like winning and not like Pac-12 South winning, like, you know, 11-1 kind of winning. And if they're doing that and he has ridiculous numbers, you know, closer to freshman year than sophomore year, it's not going to matter what Clay Helton does. I mean, what matters for Clay Helton is winning the game. So that's how he can contribute, Don, is not by campaigning and, you know, using his influence in the world. His influence would be USC goes 12-0 or 11-1. Then he's going to be in the conversation.
I will say, though, I think Don has a point about the whole Pac-12 problem, though, because I feel like for someone or for a player to get recognized at the national level, you have to really be impressive. You know, you have to really beat the team, the opponents you're playing, whereas if you're elsewhere, if you're on East Coast time, I think you definitely get more love and more, you get your highlights played throughout the day. That's the whole reason why they did the big noon kickoff at 9 a.m. In 2020. But I think you have to jump a few more hurdles in the Pac-12 than you would if you were in a different conference. That's just what I think. I'm also still jaded by the Christian McCaffrey whole debacle, because I still think he was Heisman worthy, but no one really saw him play.
Yeah, and that was the, you know, I think Wilner talked about this more than anybody, but when you watch that day, that game, USC Arizona State, and you watch college football throughout the rest of the day, and we, you know, I wasn't even covering, I was at home. USC Arizona State highlights were on every game, and it was because it was a compelling game and a miracle comeback. They showed that all day, every day, like every halftime of every game the rest of the day, where if you're the 7:30 PM game, like there's not a lot of opportunities to show what actually happened. So that was a benefit that I don't think a lot of people you know, talked about much, but that was a big, you know, benefit from that. But for Don, Pac-12 wise, if Christian McCaffrey played for USC, he would have won the Heisman. So no questions asked. And USC is going to get a bump. If you're like Oregon, you can worry about, I'm in the Pac-12. If you're USC, it's not complete. You're not completely isolated. You know, you're not isolated from the Pac-12, but you're insulated from some of the bows and arrows that you would be flung at the Pac-12. USC football people are willing to be like, yeah, that's USC. Oh, they're 11-1 or they're 12-0, and their quarterback's thrown for 5,000 yards and 55 touchdowns. Like, okay, yeah, like he's a Heisman contender just because of the name. So, the Pac-12 isn't going to help. But it doesn't hurt USC as much as it would hurt, like, if, you know, Dorian Thompson-Robinson was making a run from UCLA or,
sure,
you know, anybody at Oregon or something like that.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Yeah. It's the brand power of USC does go somewhere when it, we're talking about nationally. So makes sense. We have an email from Mark in Fresno who says, hi all, since USC has decided to open up the pocketbook for support staff, what have they done with regard to the nutrition plan and how are they integrating it into the program? Who's running the nutrition program? Mark in Fresno.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go for it, Ryan.
I'll just give a quick, like, I think it's a good question because we've seen when they first opened, like, the John McKay Center, and we talked about this before, I don't think there was a ton of foresight as far as, like, how the landscape of college football was changing. There's some really cool stuff in there, but there was also some stuff where, like, they didn't have offices for support staff. Like, they had basically one office that you could put support staff people in. I think we went down there and did the tour. There was some stuff for nutrition and there was like a, you know, like a shake stand or something like that, but it didn't seem like it was this huge, built out thing to help with the nutrition side of stuff. And there was like one or two people that were working there. I think that was an initial problem back, 10 years ago or whatever it was, when that opened. Now going forward, I think you have to, that's something you definitely need to address. And Keely, I maybe have some information on that, but I feel like something that when USC kind of built that out, they were, putting out the better facilities. That wasn't something that was like, oh yeah, they got like 10 nutritionists there. There was like one or two or something. And I think Dan Weber interviewed one of them at one point. And there was a couple of people that changed. We'd met them before. We'd see them at practice sometimes, but it wasn't like this staff of people that was helping out with nutrition from what I remember.
Yeah, from the source side of things, the complaining about nutrition was what I heard a lot. Like, it just seemed to be a constant theme as far as like complaints. So I know that they're trying to revamp that. I've asked about it, and from a USC source I got that they're working on it. Didn't get too much info, so I think it's still a work in progress. But I think it's going to be attacked the same way that the strength and conditioning staff was attacked. I know they put out some videos, and Robert Steinert said that they're trying to be on the forefront of scientific research and trying to do the best things for the student athletes. And so I think they would have that same mindset when it comes to nutrition, which I don't feel like we've totally seen. I felt like nutrition was kind of behind the times from a couple seasons ago and what we've seen. So I think it's a work in progress. So I don't have too much for you, Mark, but I know that USC is aware that they need to improve that area of its program.
And if you remember, like when Aaron Osmus came in, some of the interview, I think the nutrition side, it didn't seem like there was a lot of cohesion between what he was doing and what the nutrition side was doing.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of problems with that over the years. I mean, do you remember like when Ed Orgeron like was given the full-time job or whatever, we made the interim head coach, like he brought back like cookies and that was like a huge deal. Like there was just, it just seemed like they were missing the mark on it. Like fairly often it has to be a symbiotic relationship. And I think there was just too many, like there just wasn't enough going on there. And it's good if they're going to address this too, because it's hard for Robert Steiner to do his job or Aaron Osmus to do his job if you don't have like the nutrition side working as well. If Aaron Osmus is like, hey, everyone go eat steaks. And then you have like the nutritionist is only giving people green smoothies in the, you need a plan that's going to work together. So
yeah,
I my gut feeling is that with Robert Steiner in there, you're going to have, they're building out that plan if it's not in place already.
Yeah. I guess the way you would phrase it is like prior to this new administration, I feel like it just wasn't a priority, or maybe they didn't recognize the importance of nutrition with everything else and how cohesive it needs to be. So I get the impression that this new athletic administration at least understands the importance of nutrition and how much it has to be in tandem with strength and conditioning and just the overall performance of the players. So that's at least good that they're recognizing that. They're working on it, so I don't fully know what the solution is going to be, but at least they're aware. And I feel like you couldn't really say that back in the day.
Yeah, for sure. So, hopefully we'll have some more information. We'd love to talk to Robert Steiner about that. He's not been made available to the media yet. So hopefully sometime before spring football, we'll be able to talk with him. So, and like Aaron Osmus came on our show, I think 1-on-1 a couple of times. So hopefully we could get Robert Steiner on too.
That'd be fun. Yeah. So we have one last text, and it's from Jack from Arizona. And let me just say, we can put his concern to rest. I think he got a little confused, because Ryan, at the beginning of every Tunnel Vision show, you talk about how Periscope is going out, right?
Yeah. So Periscope as a platform is going away.
Yes. Periscope is not the peristyle.
Oh, so, that you put that together. I didn't even put that together for me.
So Jack from Arizona sent us a text that said, I just listened to your podcast and found out that the Peristyle podcast is going away in favor of some new streaming show. I realize that the industry has to find new ways to make, I believe, money. But at the same time, it really puts a crimp in us older, retired individuals living on a fixed income. I really hate losing touch with SC Football and Ryan on the Peristyle. Ryan is the voice of reason on all things SC. I guess I'll have to go somewhere else for my information. Well, don't you worry, Jack. You don't have to go anywhere. The podcast is not going anywhere. We were talking about Peristyle. It's a streaming thing on Twitter. They're going to have a new streaming thing. Oh my God. I just did that. Sorry. Sorry, Jack. Okay. Yes, but we're fine. The podcast is fine. Periscope is a different thing and it's changing, but that will be fine. Nothing will change, Jack. You're good. Don't worry.
Yeah. I sent Jack a text just to let him know. And I didn't put it together. So if it gets a little confusing, we've been doing the Peristyle podcast for a long time. 2008 is when we started it, but we've also expanded sort of the library of it. You know, before it was like me and Harvey Hyde would do a show, maybe me and Gerard, me and Dan Weber. You know, now we've settled in. I'll do a show with Harvey Hyde most of the time. Keely and I will do a show, but Keely's also part of the Family Feud podcast. So that started off as Keely and Shotgun. But Chris Trevino is joining that quite a bit. And, you know, sometimes we'll still have Gerard on. He'll do a premium podcast for our subscribers sometimes too, but we'll have him come on and do a recruiting blast with me or Keely. We've done that in the past. Shotgun started his own, podcast as well, Heard on the Sidelines. And if you have a podcasting app, we're putting all of these into the Peristyle podcast feed. So you'll be getting multiple episodes per week.
Even Tunnel Vision too, Siren.
Yeah, no, you're right. So the Tunnel Vision one is, it's all those other shows I mentioned are recorded as podcasts. So these are audio only. We're talking, we're microphones, we, you know, record and maybe answer your questions, whatever it is. And we put it up as an audio format, you know, in an audio format as a podcast. And if you have Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you're listening to your podcast, it should be in the feed for the Peristyle podcast and you get it. Well, Tunnel Vision is a live streaming show. It's video. And we do that usually on Sunday nights. We'll do it sometimes Wednesdays, Sundays, you know, during the season. It just depends. But it's a video show that you can see on YouTube, Facebook. And then, as Keely mentioned, Periscope, which is they got bought by Twitter, but it's going away. So it's the Periscope version of the show is going away. We stream on all three the same show, but it's just like kind of you can watch it on three different channels, you could say, three different media outlets. Hopefully Twitter will have some kind of live format. We could put it directly up on Twitter, but if not, when Periscope goes away, it'll be, on YouTube and it'll be on Facebook. But we take the audio from that video show and also put it into the Peristyle podcast feed. So you can listen to the show even if you're not watching. Now there's a lot of graphical stuff on there. We put up graphics. You can see things on the show that you won't be able to, you know, listen to on the podcast, but it's just another way for, you know, we've had people request that they don't want to watch the video. They like listening, so they want to listen to the podcast version of the show. But that's all staying. Podcasts aren't going away, like Keely said. And I didn't put two and two together with Jack. He was actually talking about Periscope going away, which is a bummer. That's been a fun one. There's been some fun social media platforms. Like, remember Vine? Like, that was a cool one. Like,
yes. RIP Vine. That was big when I was in college. Yeah. But now it's TikTok, Ryan.
I haven't either.
Don't worry.
You don't have a TikTok?
No, because like the origins of the app were sketchy. So then I didn't download it and now it's a big thing. And well, TikTok now is like kind of bleeding into Instagram. So I feel like I understand the trends without actually having TikTok. So I think it's a win-win.
Yeah. You can see like on Instagram stories, people are putting their TikToks up there or whatever. So, that's weird. There was that. Is Snapchat still a thing? Are they still,
still a thing? Yes. It's not as popular, but still a thing.
Okay. Cause that was like a big thing for a while. I think they were like the first to do kind of like the stories, right? Like things that would expire.
Yes. I remember I downloaded it as a sophomore in high school, and I was like, I do not get the point of this, and I still use it to this day, so there you go.
Still send snaps and stuff, and I think Keely is the one that had to teach me about, like, I'm like, so what's the story? Like, I was just posting stuff. I think I got a pretty good ratio now. I mostly do stories, and I'll put a post every once in a while.
Yeah, you understand, like, the unwritten rules of Instagram now. Before, you were posting, like, 4 times a day, and I had to tell you, like, tone it down a little bit, Ryan.
Yeah, you don't need that. And then, yeah, it's funny, but now she tells me, like, oh, you see that person that has, like, 25 stories a day? Like, okay, skip those. Like, that's just too many, you know? Like,
yeah, don't be that person.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you're going to put what you have for lunch, like, once a week, okay, that's fine. But if you're going to put, you know, everything you've done every day, that's like, oh, that's a little much, you know. Like, maybe have a really cool day, you put a bunch of things, like, okay, this was a very different day. But
there's
some people that put up, like, everything every day, like, I can't read all these things or watch all these things.
Exactly. Social media tips with Ryan and Keely.
I'm not the best at it, but I try. Twitter is, like, kind of where we're, for our industry, that's kind of where the bread is buttered, you know.
Pretty much, yep.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's still, I think, but, you know, you turn around and you're like, you see some person that has like 10 million followers, like, who the heck is? I don't even know who that is. I've never heard of them. And they have like this huge Twitter following. I'm like, okay, where did that come from? You know?
Whatever works for social media, I guess.
Nice. All right. Well, let's wrap things up. That was good stuff. From Keely today, follow her on Twitter @Keely is my name. You can follow me @InsideTroy. And we do appreciate you guys listening to us here on the Peristyle Podcast. For Keely Yoram, I'm Ryan Abraham. Thanks for listening. And we will talk to you next time.
You may have noticed that shopping at Trader Joe's is unlike shopping at other markets. People ask us all the time how we manage to have such unique, interesting, and delicious products at such great everyday prices. This is Dan Bain of Trader Joe's. The answer is simple. It's all in the way we do business. We buy directly from the manufacturer whenever possible. This helps to keep our costs low, and we pass those savings on to you. No gimmicks, just great values at honest prices every day at Trader Joe's. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. Don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.